This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is the Daily Digest on the Bigger Picture. I'm Sharmila Ganesan with Kelly Anisa and Lim Su Ann. Today is World Press Freedom Day, and so we've got a special hour of stories on that theme for you.
So first, we'll take a closer look at whether things have changed for Malaysian media a year after GE14.
And in our second story, we take a look at press freedom in India. Stay tuned.
So if you do have thoughts on press freedom, you can join the conversation at BFM Radio on Twitter. You can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or call us at 03-7733-2900. Our phone lines are open. But before we get to our stories, here is Nina Simone with I Wish I Knew How It Would Feel to Be Free.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, the business station.
That was I Wish I Knew How It Would Feel to Be Free by Nina Simone. And if you've just joined us, we're commemorating World Press Freedom Day with a special selection of stories. And if you would like to share your thoughts on press freedom, you can tweet us at BFM Radio, you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or call us at 03-7733-2900. Now on to our first story.
Yes, so World Press Freedom Day is actually relatively new. It was only introduced by the United Nations General Assembly in December 1993, and this was following a recommendation by the UNESCO General Conference. And that recommendation was actually in response to a call by African journalists who wrote the Windhoek Declaration on Media Pluralism and Independence in 1991. So every year since 1993, on the 3rd of May, which is actually the day that the Windhoek Declaration was adopted, we celebrate World Press Freedom Day.
Oh, I did not know that.
And celebrating press freedom also provides an opportunity to inform people on the fundamental principles of press freedom and to assess the state of press freedom worldwide. More importantly, it is a day of support for media which are targets for the restraint or abolition of press freedom. And it also acts as a day of remembrance for journalists who have lost their lives in the line of duty.
Yeah, so for this year, the theme is Media and Democracy, Journalism and Elections in Times of Disinformation. So obviously very relevant there to many of us around the world. And this theme was chosen to spur discussions about the challenges that the media faces today during elections and on their potential to support peace and reconciliation processes. So we have actually had several elections taking place across the world in recent years. Just to name a few, countries like Spain, Ukraine, India, and even places closer to home like Thailand and Indonesia have all had major elections very recently. Mm. And the issue of disinformation, or what is, I suppose, more commonly known as fake news, yeah. Especially during election periods, has been a long-running issue which is highlighted in this year's theme.
Yeah, so if we look back to our own general elections last year, the theme for World Press Freedom Day today is also quite relevant to us. Mm. So when it comes to press freedom in Malaysia, local media have faced multiple challenges, from online news portals being blocked to journalists being arrested on suspicion of sedition. But local news outlets have played significant roles in the months leading up to GE14. So to give us an insight into how Malaysian media have dealt with press freedom and disinformation, we have on the line Sonia Rand, the director of the Centre for Independent Journalism. So Sonia, as many of us know, GE14 was a turning point in Malaysian history. At that time, what was the role of the media during the elections?
The media then, and still to a large extent, are very curtailed by the legislation that governs the media in Malaysia. So I'm talking, of course, here primarily about the Printing Presses and Publications Act, but also about the Communications and Multimedia Act, the Sedition Act, and a host of other laws that are still in place today. The laws govern not only what can be said, but who controls the media. So, for example, for the print media, where it's a lot more clear-cut, there is the need for a license if you want to do anything. For the broadcast media, the regulator comes ultimately under a ministry. So all of these are political decisions made by politicians what that means in turn is that the media is dependent upon politicians for its existence. Without the favour of a politician, whether it's the Minister of Communications and Multimedia or the Home Minister, depending which type of media you aren't allowed to operate. So despite repeated notions that the media is free in Malaysia, it really hasn't been. Now, obviously, there's been a difference between the licensed, which is the broadcast and print media, and the unlicensed media, which are websites such as Malaysia Kini or TMI and such like. But even though they don't need to have licenses, there has still been a host of laws which could curtail and create a climate of fear. Obviously, a lot of journalists try to do a good job. A lot of media outlets try to do a good job. It was Malaysian media that first brought to light the 1MDB scandal, for example. But there were real fears, and these fears still exist to a large extent today, about the power of government to interfere in the media.
So disinformation is highlighted in this year's theme for World Press Freedom Day. How have Malaysian media and journalists navigated the issue of disinformation, such as fake news, during GE14?
I think Malaysian journalists have always tried, and certainly the best Malaysian journalists have always tried, to hold power to account and to try and verify their sources and engage in the best journalistic practices. But there is a lot of pressure on journalists today to get stories quickly and to meet not just deadlines, but also multiple deadlines. So there's the 24-hour news cycle, of course, is no longer new, but it does put a lot of pressure on journalists. At the same time, the problem of disinformation is often seen as one of the extremes of people, individuals who doing this for fun rather than for profit and things like that. And I don't think that that's really an accurate model of what we're facing. As we've seen through the issues to do with Russia and Cambridge Analytica, we're talking about a really quite sophisticated machine. And it's not something that's being done by just individuals and by extremist elements. There's a lot of highly organized manipulation going on. And it's not new. Propaganda has been used. It was used in Malaya during the campaigns against the communists, for example, and by the communists in the campaigns against the British. So we need to be concerned about both the sources of information, but I also think we need to be able to analyze whether or not information is credible, because part of the problem is but it's too easy to not believe stuff as well as easy to believe stuff. There is an outrage economy, and we need to be able to trust as well as distrust. And I think this is where the real threat of disinformation lies. This feeling that nobody and nothing can be trusted anymore. Now, I'm not advocating a return to the idea that governments know best and cannot be questioned, but I do think that we need to cultivate, when we talk about things like media literacy, which is still the most effective way of combating disinformation and fake news, we also need to talk about, so how do we know when somebody is telling the truth? How do we judge between experts to know whether or not they are credible? So I think that we really need to be looking at the big picture on disinformation and not just looking for quick fix legislation that will have a clamping down effect on freedom of expression and still privilege those with the resources to engage in high level disinformation campaigns.
And Malaysia has been ranked quite low on the World Press Freedom Index. Last year, we were ranked 145th out of the 180 countries. A year on after GE14, we jumped 22 places to the 123rd place. What are your thoughts on press freedom in Malaysia today?
We still have a huge long way to go, despite the nice phrases, the election commitments that were made by the Pakatan Harapan parties during the election campaign. There were a lot of commitments made, and we've seen very little fulfillment. Now, I understand that there are concerns and there are difficulties in pushing these things forward, but we really do need to see a moratorium on the Sedition Act. We aren't going to rise up in the ranks unless we actually take these things seriously. They made a commitment to repeal the Sedition Act. It hasn't been repealed yet. And people are still being investigated for having discussions on things of national importance, such as the Rome Statute. It's just not good enough. We need to see a moratorium on the Sedition Act. We need to see a repeal of the Printing Presses and Publications Act. And the government isn't doing these things, which were promised in the manifesto last year.
And what were the other challenges that the media faced today?
Obviously, the biggest challenge for media in Malaysia and media elsewhere is really the commercial challenge. And the ability to translate the readership into either advertising revenue or other forms of revenue generation. And I think that it's actually connected to the legislative environment in some ways, because one of the challenges is, how do you stay close to your audience? How do you show your audience that you respect and value them? And journalism isn't ranked very high in trust indices anymore. People are skeptical of their sources of information, partly because there is misinformation, disinformation, fake news coming from all sorts of sources. So we need to be, there does need to be some skepticism. But this is why we really need to have, for example, a media council that can help separate the wheat from the chaff, that can help readers and listeners and viewers navigate between the ethical media that commit to upholding standards of journalism, even if they get it wrong sometimes, to those that really just don't care. So I think that that's going to have commercial implications as people can rebuild their trust in media outlets. So I think that the real challenge is definitely one of the bottom line. But I don't think that the current race to the bottom is the way that that challenge can be overcome.
So you mentioned the Media Council, and there's been a lot of discussion recently about setting up a Malaysian Media Council, and the public consultation process was completed recently. So what are the latest updates on the MMC?
One of the outcomes of the consultation was that a journalist alliance took over the issue to a large extent of the Media Council. Now, CIJ has incorporated a lot of the comments that were made during the consultation into the draft constitution that we've made publicly available as a Google document. And we're still welcome for feedback. Anybody can look at that. Anybody can comment on it. But I'm waiting to see really what the Journalist Alliance comes up with. And I think that there is hope that that will be moving forward in the near future.
And if the council is set up, how do you perceive it will impact upon press freedom in Malaysia?
Well, it's hard to tell. It depends very much on the model that's taken up and whether or not we do see, which needs to happen, the repeal of laws concurrent with the setting up of a media council. So we need to see the repeal of the Printing Presses and Publications Act as a very minimum to make it possible for journalists, particularly print journalists who would be the ones affected by that, to really be able to implement the code of ethics. Because again, if your rice bowl is dependent on pleasing politicians, it's hard to behave or to write in an independent and non-biased fashion. But on the other hand, we do also need to see a model which allows for a genuine role for members of the public. When you look at the models of media councils around the world, the ones which are effective have strong public representation in them. If the council is dominated, as some suggestions have been, by owners and publishers, then what happens is it tends to evolve into a rubber stamp for whatever newspapers want to do. I mean, the UK Press Council, for example, did not take action against its members, even when they broke the law. So a media council like that would have really very little impact on the media environment at all. It would reinforce the powers of owners and publishers against the powers of editors, journalists, and the media, the readership, and the citizens themselves. So I think we need to be very careful about what sort of model we have. And I think that one which empowers media consumers and citizens is the model that will help to strengthen Malaysia media in the challenges that they face in the future.
So that was Sonia Randawa, Director of the Centre for Independent Journalism.
Yeah, so quite a lot to think about and really to keep in mind as we move forward. Because, yeah. I mean, we are just coming upon the first year anniversary of the GE14, right? Mm-hmm. And there might be, I suppose, a temptation to, I mean, we've been asking a lot of questions, but I think there things like rising in the World Press Freedom Index, Sonia brings up a really good point that while that might be viewed as a positive in many ways, there is still a lot of work to be done. You know, things like the Sedition Act are still in place.
Yeah.
The Printing and Publications Act is still in place. And so, yeah, it's these are not things to be taken for granted, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I think we do have we do have more discussions on World Press Freedom coming up after the break.
Yep, so you can tweet us at BFM Radio, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or call us at 03-7733-2900.
So we'll be taking a break now for a quick word from our sponsors. And when we come back, we will be talking about the role of press freedom in India's ongoing elections. But first, here's Talking About a Revolution by Tracy Chapman on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.